Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, sorry it is not the sheriff. You have one of his deputies. I'm Deputy Don Dubuque filling in for Newell. He'll be back with you again tomorrow. Got a great show lined up for you, though, and we hope you'll participate in it. We have our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line for that purpose at 504-260-1870. We're going to close our show out later on this afternoon. We'll be talking to Congressman Steve Scalise and getting the latest on the government shutdown, which lingers on. We'll find out what some of the sticking points are, what will it take to finally get that over with and get back into business with the government, and also get his opinion on some of the things taking place here in the state of Louisiana with regard to local politics. And then before that, at 11, we're going to talk to Kimberly Landry Coates. She's a state representative, Republican District number 73, about a very controversial project. It's called carbon capture. Better name is carbon sequestration. And it's basically proposed for the Lake Maurepas area. It would store carbon dioxide underground under the lake bed as part of a hydrogen production complex. And if that sounds pretty technical, it could mean some very negative environmental impacts. And there's been a lot of effort to slow it down, get some more studies done before permits is issued, and we'll get the representative's take on where that stands now. But this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about LSU football, and more particular, LSU head coach Brian Kelly. There's been a lot of things circulating around on the internet and social media, and just when you go out to talk with folks and see them about Brian Kelly, as far as being unlikable. He's not a likable guy. And one of our texters already said he doesn't have to be likable to be successful, but he does have to be successful to be likable. So I think there's a lot of truth in that. But my question is he come across as an unlikable person when he really is likable? And the other thing is LSU getting their full benefit from what they've invested in Brian Kelly? The guy has got an enormous salary. $10,175,000, plus he stands to earn bonuses from this season for another $1.3 million. To buy him out, if they decide that they want to remove him without cause, his buyout is over $53 million. And something not often mentioned is he also had the value of a $780,000 interest-free mortgage loan from the TAF, the Tiger Athletic Foundation, that provides him for the purchase of a residence in Baton Rouge, and then the foundation gets repayment of the original loan amount plus 20% of any increased value of the home at sale. So there's a lot of little bennies and not little, but big benefits. And the question is LSU getting their money's worth out of Brian Kelly given the performance this year? And we'll talk to some football experts, some of our analysts. Mike Dettillier is going to join us. Glenn Gilbo, the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, as well as Jeff Palermo. He's going to be joining us also, and we'll discuss that. We'd like to hear from you, too. It's 504-260-1870 is the talk and text line if you want to weigh in on it. You know, as far as where we are in this season, I guess you can't really deny the record. A couple of disappointing games that we saw in there, maybe not living up to the expectations of LSU. And one of the things that I find that the fans of LSU, I think, are different than most fans across the country at universities. I think LSU really is almost as important, and to some people maybe even more important, that the coach buys into the whole LSU thing, that, you know, the Louisiana culture, the food, the cuisine, the music, the outdoor stuff, the environment. And if we get a coach that just really has is not really interested in that, and he's more interested in strictly his job and winning football games, sometimes they don't consider him a likable coach. So what do you think? Is he a likable kind of guy? I see he blew up at pretty much at one press conference. He kind of handed it back to the media when he thought he was being questioned with some unfair questions. But for the most part, I think he's a pretty calm, reserved, addresses the questions logically and courteously to the reporters. But then again, if you do any lip reading when he's on the sideline, when some of his players screw up, shows a different side of Brian Kelly. Anyway, overall, is he a good fit at LSU considering the money he's being paid, the production that he's giving to us, and as far as being a likable coach and being a good representative of LSU in the state of Louisiana? 504-260-1870. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll start off with Glenn Gilbo, editor of Tiger Rag Magazine and the author of the Skip Bertman story, Everything Matters in Baseball. We'll be right back. I'm Don Dubuque filling in today for Newell Norman on the Big 870 WWL. And what we're talking about this morning is LSU coach Brian Kelly. Is he as advertised? Has LSU made a good investment? Are they getting a good return? And something else is he a likable person? Do the LSU fans like him? There's a lot of circulation out there that he's just not a likable person. He doesn't fit in well with the LSU crowd. What do you think? Here's what some of our listeners are saying. This one says, Nick Saban is very unlikable. I know from experience, yet I would have him back in a heartbeat. I think I have to agree with that. Another says, Brian Kelly's highest paid state employee. We expect him to perform. Another says, I think he's fine, neither here nor there. And yet another, as long as the players like and listen to him, that's all should matter. Another says, he's not likable because he's not from down south. He has that northern attitude and not the southern hospitality. I'm not quite sure what that northern attitude is. I'm sure there's a lot of fine people who are from the north and very likable. Let's talk to Glenn Gilbo, who is the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine in Baton Rouge. He's also the author of a very good read. It is called Everything Matters in Baseball, the Skip Bertman story. But most importantly, he is an alumnus from the old Airline Park Playground neighborhood. Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
That's right, Airline Park. Before Mike, it was named Mike Miley. Airline Park.
Absolutely. The home of Chick Kaplan and gang. Glenn, what do you think? Brian Kelly, first of all, is he a likable guy in your opinion, and does that matter? And do fans find him unlikable?
LSU fans are extremely fickle, and fan is short for fanatic, so I don't really go with what they think most of the time. But I would say he's not, like, overly popular amid the fan base like Coach Orgeron was and Les Miles was. You know, those guys were really popular, particularly until the later days for Les Miles. And Coach O was very popular. But the thing about Kelly is, after I've started covering him regularly, he is likable, more so than seeing him from afar when he was at Notre Dame. But I look at things from a media perspective, and he answers questions. He's smart. He's well-spoken. So, and he's funny, and he's more candid than most coaches. So I like him from that perspective. But you know, what we're talking about, it really doesn't matter, because if he wins, it blows all that away. Because like you said earlier, Nick was not, ingratiating with the fans, but then he started winning, and he sure was.
So I guess the best of all worlds is to get a Coach Orgeron who's got an excellent winning record.
Well, not his last 2 years.
No, but if he had, that would be the ideal candidate for an LSU coaching job. But it's a tough spot. I mean, LSU fans want you to buy into the whole Louisiana thing. At the same time, they want you to be a big winner. And given the investment that LSU has made in Brian Kelly, it sounds like you're pretty impressed with him as a coach. You think he's living up to it?
Well, no, I was just saying how he is for me to do my job. I think he's interesting. But, no, he's underperformed as a coach based on his salary. You know, he got a national championship salary, and the expectation was that he would either win one or contend for one, and he hasn't yet. You know, he has a chance to make the playoffs this year, but it's you know, it's looking like it's going to be tough to do that. And then, and you know, Ellis, he hasn't come close to the playoffs since he's been there. So from a salary and contract place, he's been disappointing.
You know, I've got another listener that says that Kelly's attitude has caused him to lose some key recruits. Have you found that might have cost him some key recruits because of a perceived attitude, maybe, if not a realistic one?
Well, I don't know what caller means by attitude, but I will say this. The bottom line is he's not as good a recruiter as Coach Orgeron, Coach Miles, and Coach Saban. Those guys regularly had top 10, top 5 recruiting classes, and Saban regularly had top 2 or 3 recruiting classes. Kelly has been around 10 or 12, you know, 15 as a recruiter. So I think that's one thing lacking. As far as on the field, I think he's pretty good. And you know, he did really well in the portal this year after the school finally caught up and realized you had to get into that game. But he is not the recruiter that the previous LSU coaches were.
You mentioned he's a very candid, maybe the most candid coach we've had, if not forever, in a long, long time. And I got to agree with you. When he explains things in his press conference, it's just going, yeah, well, that makes sense, you know, and he's very honest about it.
Yeah, and you know, Coach O was really honest too, but he didn't explain things as well as Coach Kelly, and Saban was a good explainer too. And you know, Kelly is candid. I mean, he volunteered the Nussmeier injury a few weeks ago. He volunteered the ankle injury this past week, which was obvious though, but still, he's more open about injuries than, say, Sean Payton was, right? Or Les Miles was. And he'll lay it on the line. You know, he said Nussmeier blew that interception at the goal line. He didn't see the safety. You know, and I like hearing that, especially since these players are making millions of dollars now. You know, you can't just say, oh, he's a kid. You know, you can't do that anymore. So, and he said he's been critical of Chris Hilton, too, who keeps dropping passes. So that part reminds me of Saban.
Yeah. Well, you know, he shouldn't take the blame for poor execution, and he's certainly not doing that. Well, Glenn, before you go, anything you want to wrap up on with Kelly? There's some rumors starting to circulate that he may be looking to leave here with some openings popping up. Any truth to that, or is that just fake news out there?
I don't believe that. You know, before he can leave, somebody's got to be interested in him, and I don't see that right now because he's not a hot coach right now, as we said, and Penn State has several player coaches they're looking at, and Kelly's name is not there. His name was really not at Michigan a couple of years ago either. But no, I don't think he's looking to leave. I think he's trying to win so he can stay. It's what he's doing.
Absolutely. Well, Glenn, thank you for joining us this morning and opining on Coach Brian Kelly. I think it's a fascinating topic when you get into the uniqueness of the LSU fan and, you know, whether they want someone that buys in or they really don't care for as long as he's winning. But, you know, they say that a strong winning record cures all evils, that's for sure. And I think that's pretty much the case with LSU.
Yeah, and you look at the best coaches in LSU history in all sports, and none of them are from Louisiana. Nick Saban, Paul Dietzel, Skip Bertman, you know, Jay Johnson. None of those guys are from Louisiana. Dale Brown. So that's something to remember.
You know, another thing about LSU fans is, boy, they sure resent when the rug's pulled out. When a guy leaves and takes a better offer. You know, I mean, they would take a better offer in a heartbeat in their particular job. But if you're an LSU coach and we've invested in you, you can't leave. You know, we'll call you Satan if you do that. And that goes all the way back. I can remember Paul Dietzel. Oh, they hated Paul Dietzel when he left.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if they, like, took a lateral move or something. But Paul Dietzel went to Army, which at the time was the job, especially in Dietzel's mind, being a World War II veteran, and then Nick Saban went to the NFL. I mean, that's America. You know, that's
which he is
mobile America.
And he has admitted lately that that was the biggest mistake in his career, was leaving LSU going to the pros. Yeah.
He and said that in the Skip Hartman book. He did. But it was an itch he had to scratch. He had to try it before he could come to that decision. So, unfortunately, he was at LSU at the time.
Right. Glenn, always great to talk with you, my friend. Take care.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
All right, Glenn Gilbo. When we come back after this break, we're going to be joined by Mike Dettillier, host of WWL Sports Talk, and see what he thinks about Coach Brian Kelly. Is he likable? Is he giving LSU what they expected in employing him at a pretty huge salary, and also a great buyout clause, $53 million to leave. What about that? All right, we're back with him, and also your comments on our Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Don Dubuque filling in for Newell Norman, the sheriff, today on the Big 870 WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And this morning, we're kind of doing an evaluation of LSU head football coach Brian Kelly. A lot of fans not only disappointed with the investment LSU has made and the return that they have gotten so far, but also about he's not a likable guy. He's not the kind of coach that can really get into the cuisine and the food and the culture of Louisiana, and because of that, they don't like him. But then, you know, I've got both sides of it here. It's kind of like 50-50. Some people don't care. All that they say is about the W's and the L's is all that matters. And another one says, are you kidding me? Coaching is 7 days a week. Very stressful. LSU fans want too much. They're not happy if they can't find fault with a coach, and the players need a strong leader. Sure, he's going to get mad if things are not being executed. We've invited some of our sports analysts to comment on this. Mike Dettillier joins us now, the host of WWL Sports Talk and also the host of the LSU pregame show with Herb Tyler. Hey, Mike, long time no talk. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Don. Great to talk to you again.
Yeah, I really enjoy that pregame show you and Herb do. You got a special kind of insight to the sport. Tell me, so far, your evaluation of Brian Kelly. Is he a likable guy? Are LSU fans expecting too much? Is he not living up to as advertised? What do you think?
Well, when they're paying you $10 million a year, they want you to win. This is a bottom-line business. It doesn't make a difference if you likable, unlikable. You got to win. And, you know, this is a program, you know, over the last, 25 years that have had three national championship coaches. Okay, with Nick Saban, Les Miles, and Coach Ogeron. So, you know, that's what's expected. Man, 8 or 9 wins? What? I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about you getting into the SEC championship game. Now you getting into the top 12, into the playoff situation. So it's all about winning. This is a business. You can say it's, you know, intercollegiate sports, but it's about winning. Now, you know, with all this money coming in, It changed everything. It changed the whole rules and stuff. But, you know, I've been told by people that I was familiar with in Notre Dame, hey, Brian Kelly's not a warm, fuzzy guy, okay, that get ready. And he's going to have some explosive press conferences at times. And it took him a little while, and then finally it kind of snapped over the last year or so. But, you know, it's all about winning. And people forget about it, but there's a lot of pressure on coaches across America with the amount of money coming in Now with new ways to rebuild your team through the transfer portal, NIL, and Don, I'm telling you, there are now multi-billionaires getting involved in sports and having great say on programs. Cody Campbell, a former Texas Tech football player, who is a multi-billionaire, he's made it known, I'll do what I have to do to put Texas Tech on the football map and Texas Tech on the athletic map. $50 million he gave the school last year. $50 million. You look at Larry Ellison from Oracle, is involved in Michigan's program tremendously. Phil Knight with Nike in Oregon. And, we've had people on during the time of Manning Camp who were involved at University of Oregon, made it plain and simple that Phil Knight has told him, hey, whatever you need from me financially, you let me know and I'll cut you the check. There are people like that with great power behind the scenes. And if they say, hey, I don't like this coach, guess what?
Yeah.
That coach is unemployed.
Absolutely.
He's not coaching there.
Yeah.
That's the way of the world. Oh, bring it back to my dad, my grandpa's world. Okay. Them days is gone forever. You are now adjusting to the new world of college athletics, which every day, I'll be honest with you, it mirrors pro sports more and more every day.
Yeah, with the portal and with an NIL, if the coaches that cannot adjust to the new way of doing business in college football, they will not be successful. I would think Nick Saban would have never enjoyed the success he had if he had to deal with those things.
That's why he's not coaching.
Exactly. That's what he said.
Come on, because Nick understood that it changed. He had his run. I think he does a great job on TV. I'll be honest. I'm shocked at that, of how good he is on television. He's a natural for it. I knew he'd always be prepared. But how he was able to present things, I think, is really, really good television-wise. And you don't have all this hassle. You don't have that around you. I remember this was many years ago when Buddy Deet was doing Sports Talk. We had John Madden on, and John had left at a very young age coaching to do television. He felt he had burned out on the game, and then his deal is, when I wake up Monday morning, I'm not upset about what happened Sunday, okay? And it doesn't sort of eat away at me and having to deal with a changing generation of how to relate to them, how to relate to other people. And he worked for Al Davis. Al wasn't the easiest guy in the world to work for. And now we are seeing the Al Davises of college athletics. There are a lot of them out there. And, you look at LSU, they had, and one of the things with Brian Kelly, he didn't embrace name, image, likeness, transfer portal. He didn't embrace that at first. And I remember a press conference, Charlie Long and I, we listened to, and I'm like, he done lost his damn mind if he thinks that he can build this through, just high school recruits. He can't do that today. Well, within a year, he had totally flipped, and his deal was, are we going to be aggressive? And they were. They were very aggressive in the transfer portal. So there was a lot of expectations coming into this season. You had been heavily involved money-wise in name, image, likeness. You spent a lot of money to keep your quarterback for another year in Garrett Nussmeier. Harold Perkins could have come out for the NFL draft or transferred. He stayed at LSU and got his knee right. But you went out and got a bunch of transfer guys, and it is shown on defense. Your defense is totally different from the last couple years, where they were absolutely awful on defense. Now you've got a respectable defense. And then I knew before the season, when you lose four of your five starting offensive linemen, and you weren't a great offensive line last year despite that, running the ball, you weren't a physical unit, you're going to have troubles there. That has really kind of reared its ugly head, and the injury to Nussmeier certainly doesn't help. He's not the same guy as he was a year ago because of that upper body injury. Hey, as the coach, you got to take the credit when sometimes it's not right, and you got to take the blame. And so a lot of people are pointing that finger. Hey, it's year four for you. Supposed to have us, you know, in a spot. If I'd have told you before the year started, you could only have one loss as you're into October. I think most people would have said, okay, that loss is Clemson, and then we roll through. You still got one loss, but it wasn't to Clemson. It was to Ole Miss. And so that's why it still is bitter. And then last weekend, you saw they had some semblance of offensively that looked better, but fumble, interception, turnovers, not converting certain third down plays that was maddening. And now you play a sneaky good Vanderbilt team. First time in 1948 was the last time Vanderbilt was favored over LSU. You and I wasn't on the radio back then either.
No, not by a long shot. Mike, I tell you, you know, one of the things that I think turned a lot of fans against Brian Kelly when he looked him in the face at that press conference, said, you LSU fans are spoiled. I don't think they liked hearing that. But, hey, he tells the truth. He calls out when it's a player. He calls out a coach when it's a coach, and maybe he should call out the fans. But then again, given the amount of money he's got, the deal LSU gave him, maybe we should expect more from him.
There's no question, okay? You can say fans are spoiled, and to a certain extent, that's true. But that's not your place to say it, okay? We're expecting you for $10 million to win more games than you have. That's what the fans' response back is. Hey, and I'm giving money to LSU, you know, for a lot of them, and some of them, you know, it's tight for money, and they're giving it. For some people, they can give a lot of money to LSU. That deal is, I expect more from you. You think that we spoiled.
You're spoiled.
We think you a spoiled coach.
Exactly. Mike, I got to run. Man, great comments, and I always appreciate your thoughts. And keep up the great work on the Sports Talk program. We really enjoy it.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. There he goes, Mike Dettillier. All right, after this next break, we'll close it out with Jeff Palermo, Louisiana Radio Network News and Sports Director, and also the WWL.com LSU columnist. Get his take on Coach Brian Kelly. Is he likable? Does that matter? And is LSU getting what they paid for? We're back right now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
After this. And our topic this hour has been LSU head coach Brian Kelly. And I guess we're talking as much about him as we are the fans, because LSU fans, I think, and a lot of people agree, are a little bit different than in most places in that they want to welcome a coach in and have him buy into the culture and the cuisine and the ambience, the whole Louisiana thing, where a lot of coaches come here and they got one thing on their mind, W's and L's. And a lot of fans feel the same way. And I think our audience is split on that. We've had Mike Dettillier weigh in and also Glenn Gilbo. Now we introduce Jeff Palermo, the Louisiana Radio Network News and Sports Director, and also the columnist for LSU on WWL.com. Jeff, always great to talk with you.
Hey, Don, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, hoping I would be fishing today, but otherwise I got something else to take care of first. Jeff, when it comes to Coach Kelly, first of all, is he a likable guy in your opinion, and does that really matter?
Are you saying from the fans' perspective, is he likable?
I think he's very likable from the media's perspective. I think Glenn kind of summed it up really well about him being very candid. He's honest. Yeah. He's very courteous to the media in most cases. He got a little blown out there one time. But for the most part, I think he's a pleasure to work with from a media standpoint, whereas some other coaches were not. But I'm talking about from the fans' aspect.
I think a majority of the fans like him. I think it would be taken to a different level if they end up, you know, winning an SEC championship or going to the college football playoff and making a deep run and winning a national championship. I felt like, especially towards the end of the Les Miles era, I think there was more of that discussion of, I think it was more of a passionate argument. You had your Les Miles supporters that loved him and respected what he did and loved him for the 2007 national championship and all the quirky things that he did. I think a lot of fans really liked that. Then there was a segment of the fan base that was just really tired of the old school offense and the fact that they can never develop a quarterback. And so it seemed to me that there was more of a line in the sand, if you would, Don, between those that really liked Les Miles and those that did not. I don't gauge that with Brian Kelly. Now, I'll say this, if, you know, this team, it seems just like a lot was built up and pointed to this season, right? You know, the returning starting quarterback, the huge investment that was made in the roster, getting the business community to buy in into helping to attract these players to LSU out of the transfer portal. And if they come up short, I think a lot of the fan base then will probably after this season turn against Brian Kelly. But we're not there yet. I think everybody's kind of waiting and seeing. I think everybody, you know, this is the thing that I think I've noticed from him, and I believe the rest of the fan base has sensed it too, is that he has a game plan, Brian Kelly does, and granted, he's changed the game plan midstream, you know, even as far as going back to last year where he really wanted it to, you know, build the program up through high school players. And then all of a sudden when Bryce Underwood decided to take the bag of cash at Michigan, that changed LSU's strategy as far as, oh, we got to start investing heavily in the transfer portal and not really rely on the high school player as much anymore. Not to say that that's going away, but, you know, Brian, going back to what Glenn Gilbo said about him being candid, he lets you know what he's thinking and what the game plan is to bring a championship to Baton Rouge, and I think everybody is behind it until it ultimately doesn't work, and we're still waiting to see if the plan works.
Yeah, and I think his ability to make adjustments in his whole recruiting and coaching and team building mentality is a credit that you have to change in this era. I mean, when he was coaching a few years ago, none of that was really much of a consideration, where now it's a top consideration.
Well, this is the thing that I think I respect out of him, is that his willingness to change, because we've seen a lot of coaches at his age just decide to get out of it, saying, you know what, this isn't for me. This is not – I don't believe in this. I don't like the fact that, you know, players are basically deciding where they're going based on money. You know, they're – of his age group, it was always about, you know, the school, the relationship that coaches would build during the recruiting process. It was always about that. But he's been willing to change, because the one thing that I think he's striving for, the one thing that's missing from his resume is the lack of that national championship. I mean, he's done so much, and because he does not have that national championship, it really drives Brian Kelly. I mean, it really does. I mean, I think that's why he's in it. I think that's why you see him as emotional as he is when they lose. It's because he really, really wants to win. And I think the fan base respects that. I think there's nothing more demoralizing for a fan base to suffer a tough loss like he did against Ole Miss, and then the head coach sit up there and make it like it doesn't bother him. And I mean, and here's a guy who's making $10 million a year, and winning and losing to Brian Kelly still really matters to him. And I think the fan base really appreciates that.
How secure is Brian Kelly in his job, do you feel? Is there any chance that LSU, if fans are disappointing and the end of the season goes even further south, that there'll be a move?
I don't think so. I mean, it would have to be a catastrophic collapse.
We don't have one of those big sugar daddies that Mike Dettillier was talking about. I don't think we do. There's one been mentioned, but I'm not sure he'd be into it.
Right. You know, I mean, look at James Franklin for Penn State. Ranked, you know, number two in the preseason. You lose three games in a row and you're out. Now, the Big Ten's about ready to sign a huge deal that's going to result in, you know, a new media deal. Well, it's more than a media deal, but a new deal that's going to really provide all the schools with the infusion of millions of dollars, and I think that's kind of part of it, why Penn State decided to make that decision. And then the other thing is I think what Penn State probably is seeing is what happened over at Texas A&M. I mean, Jimbo Fisher had this huge buyout. The boosters step up and they pay the buyout. And now look at Texas A&M. I mean, they're undefeated and they're one of the top teams in the country. So, I don't get the sense that, you know, say if they finish 8-4, that there would be a change. I think, again, if this team does fall short of a college football playoff appearance, I could see a larger group of the fan base really start to turn on Brian Kelly, because then it's been 4 years and you just haven't been able to do it, where by this time Les Miles, Ed Orgeron, you know, Nick Saban, all those guys had won a national championship. So the bar is very high. I would say for the most part, the fan base has been pretty patient with Brian Kelly, again, because I think he lays out a plan. And as long as the fan base has an understanding of the direction of the program, I think they can accept it. But eventually, that game plan that the coach lays out, you got to eventually execute it. And so far, they haven't been able to do that just yet.
And I think he's a good communicator of that.
Yeah.
Jeff, thanks so much for sharing your opinion on that. We always appreciate you coming on, and keep up the great work. We enjoy reading your columns.
Yep. It's that political science background that he has, Don, that I think really does help him in those kind of situations.
And he was born into a political family, too. His dad was a politician. Yep. That always helps. Thanks again, Jeff. Appreciate it. All right. When we come back after the top of the hour break, we're going to talk about carbon capture project for Lake Maurepile, proposed by a company called Air Products. Very controversial, a lot of opposition locally, but not a whole lot of publicity about it. We're going to talk to Representative Kimberly Landry Coates and get the latest update on the status of where that project stands as far as getting the permits finally approved and then the actual project taking place. All right, well, I'm filling in for Newell Norman, Don Dubuque, and normally I'm here on Saturday mornings 5 to 7 with the Outdoor Show. Been doing that. That's kind of a new show. Only been on for 36 years. We'll be back right after this time out and talk to Representative Coates about the Carbon Capture Project on the Big 870
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.